You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Oh, man. It is Monday. We got 2 hours in the books already, folks. If you happen to have missed the first 2 hours, check out civicmedia.us, where you can see or watch or listen to the first 2 hours in podcast form. We had a great talk with Mike Clemens in hour number one about the Super Bowl and some Wisconsin sports fun. And then in hour number two, my guest Chip Chinnery told us about some fun money tips and how he parlayed $5 in cash into $38. And it only took him 20 years to do it. I'm kidding. He has this great website. We'll jump back in with Chip in just a minute. But coming up at 7:35, the legendary and iconic Sean Cassidy will be here. Sean is coming to Wisconsin and has a couple dates for a live show here in Green Bay and one in Madison. So we'll talk to Sean about that, as well as some of the other stuff he is up to these days. Looking forward to that. And our question of the night is, who would you like to be your mentor? I said Warren Buffett in honor of Chip Chinnery, or Sidney Sweeney. And I already surmised that since I have Chip in my life, I don't really need Warren Buffett. So I just went with Sidney Sweeney by default. Conrad said Mark Wahlberg.
And Skip Bayless.
And Skip, two of the most hateable people in the world. Well done.
I want to learn how to be more hateable.
No comment. But let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio at Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can drop us a stream comment and be part of the show. And I say that, I kid, obviously, Conrad, because your mom texted the show, and she said her mentor, she would want to be Kim Kardashian, because you can make a lot of money without having any talent. So
that's a great one.
That's a great one. All these have been outstanding. Fun to read your texts on the air, folks. So let us have them. And we will get caught up on text in just a bit. Right now, we have a few more minutes with my pal, Chip Chinnery, a very funny stand-up comedian, really solid actor, and equally as smart when it comes to money tips. Chip.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us about your book. You had this great book, Charging Mount Stand-Up, My First Year in Comedy, that came out, I want to say, about a year ago. And how's it doing, and what can you tell us about it?
It was about my first year on the road doing stand-up. I kept a journal, and I took pictures at every gig, whether it was a one-nighter or a week-long gig. I took pictures of the comedians I worked with, pictures around the club, them on stage, me, us, condo life, whatever it was. And I wrote about it, and it was fun. It was from 1988 to 1989, so that's a few years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't have to make up anything. I just opened my journal, and it was almost like reading a story I'd long forgotten, because it was like, what? I did who?
That's
so and you forget funny. How long ago things were happening. You're like, something was so important that you wrote it in a journal, and you forgot it 35 years later, 30 years later. It's like, who's Stephanie? I don't know who Stephanie is. But evidently she was very nice, and I liked her a lot. And she liked me. So it was a fun look back. And it's people who were young comics at the time. Dave Attell's first road gig, he was opening for me in Poughkeepsie at Bananas. And that was in there. Dave Chappelle opened for me when he was 17. And that was fun. We did two weekends in Virginia and D.C. And I have some video of him introducing me, bringing me on stage. I have links from the book to my website. But you can go to chipchenery.com and look for books, and it'll show you some of those videos.
It's great for insight into the world of a road comic in the late 80s, because that was kind of when the boom was starting. And I remember when I met you, I think we worked together in April in West Lafayette, Indiana.
Yes, we did. And, in 90, I believe.
Okay, 90, because that makes sense. I think I started doing open mics at the end of 89, and I started getting work probably before I was ready, because there was such a boom in stand-up. And I think you have a picture of me wearing, looks like I'm wearing mom jeans or something in the late 80s. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I'm glad
you were always ready. Don't talk that way about yourself. You were ready to go, baby. You came back. Weren't you working downtown Chicago at some trade something or another?
I worked at the Board of Trade. Yes, that was my day job right out of college. Makes me sound like I graduated in 4 years. Right after my fifth year of college, I was working at the Chicago Board of Trade, and I would work until like 2 in the afternoon, and I hated it. And I would go home and take a nap, and then I would hit the open mics. It was just a fun time in your life. You don't even realize how fun it is, you know, until you look back. It's like, that's kind of the cruel thing in life sometimes. You're like, that's why you have to enjoy every moment, because you're going to look back on this time and you're going to think it's a great time.
Yeah. And this this was April 3rd, 1990. We worked at Nick's in West Lafayette.
Yeah. It was a college room. It was a big room. Yeah. It was a great one-nighter, which you can't say about a lot of places, but that was a really good one.
Is West Lafayette Purdue?
I think so.
Is that where Purdue is? Okay.
I think
so. Yeah. So that was that's where we met, and it was a while ago. But the book was fun to do, and I loved putting it out there. I got contacted recently by a guy who's doing a documentary about Mitch Hedberg. And he's like, oh, I loved your book, and I'm like, tell me more about the road. I'm doing this thing. Maybe we can. And you ever work with Mitch? I'm like, yes, I did. Oh my gosh! So I took Mitch to a bus stop, and he was taking a bus from Toledo to Fort Wayne after our Detroit week. Gosh. I took him there. So anyway, it was a fun.
Mitch Hedberg was such a great stand-up. His jokes, he had such a unique style. And I worked with him in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It was probably right before I left for LA, maybe 96. And I was the headliner, and he was the middle act. And he was begging the guy. It was a place called the Westward Ho, and they had a casino. It was kind of a fun, you worked there. It was kind of a fun place. And the guy's name was Chris, and he was a pretty good guy, you know, as club owners go. And Mitch was like, come on, man, you got to headline me, Chris. Come on, bro. You got to headline me. And then he goes up, and he did pretty well. I'm not kidding, Chip. 2 weeks later, he's on Letterman, and he's like a phenom. So that's a great – it's fun when you work with people like that, and you see them move forward, and you realize, oh, that's good, because they are truly, really talented.
Yeah. I remember watching them. You look kind of like a 1970s hippie stoner, plays in a band somewhere. That's just kind of his look. He was on stage in Detroit at the Comedy Castle, and they're like going – they just weren't giving it up for him. And I was kind of getting irritated, because I was like, this guy's really funny.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of not sure what's going on. But I was kind of also glad that he wasn't crushing, because I was following him. Right, and that wouldn't be any fun.
Oh, that's funny. Let's talk a little bit about your acting. I also want to say, I know that Cecily Adams was a dear friend of yours, and she was the daughter of Don Adams from Get Smart. And you turned me on to a class that she taught about cold open auditioning. And I took two or three of them. I just really liked her so much. And she was gone far too young. But what did she – you've had so much success. You've been in so many shows and commercials. You've obviously got auditioning done. Is it because of what you learned from Cecily? And what could you pass on to other people who are listening now who might be actors?
Cecily was great. She's she taught us, like, our class was just about the audition process. So it was, we had to be realistic. And I forget, what was the first part of your question?
Well, it was like, what did you learn from her? did what you learned from her help you land all these roles? Because I remember her advice was very basic. It was, if you get an audition last minute, ask yourself these very simple things. Who are you? Where are you? What do you want? And that stayed with me. I taught my kids that. I wasn't great at it, but I thought it was great advice. And obviously you've done well with it, I think.
Yeah, she was just very realistic about what's going on. And one thing she said, like, we had fun in class, but she said, those 10 years on the road taught you how to be funny. And that was something I still remember. Because she's you're doing really well. And I said, I want to do other casting. I want to go to these casting workshops and audition for these other casting directors, but I want to know if I'm ready, because I know there's a point in stand-up when you sound like you're not ready, and I wanted to be ready. And she's like, yeah, you're ready. So she was very supportive, and she was very cool. She wasn't treating it like something so precious, even though she is a very serious actress, you know. She wasn't the art, the craft. It wasn't that. It was just being very realistic about it.
No, there was no pretense to her. It was all, she was just such a real and very cool person.
I really liked her.
Yeah.
gone too soon. She's been 20 years, I think.
And her husband, Jim Beaver, I still see pop up in TV shows, and it makes me think of her, which is nice.
Yeah, she's she was a good one.
Yeah. and to bring tears to your eyes, I was truly just trying to give a compliment to a mutual friend who obviously you knew much more than I did. But so listen, you've been on all these great shows, Seinfeld, yes. Friends, you've got a list of credits a mile long. Before we let you go, tell us about an experience from one of those shows and what was maybe the most fun you had on a set on one of these shows, or what was a catastrophe?
There's so many. First of all, David Schwimmer from Friends, solid guy, really great dude. Like, I walk to the stage and I'm in a scene with David Schwimmer and Matt LeBlanc. And it was a scene where they both worked in a museum Joey was a tour guide and Schwimmer was the scientist. So the tour guides wore the blue coats and the scientists wore the white coats. And the whole scene was like, Joey, will you sit with me? The white coat sat in the one section, the black and the blue coat sat in another. Yes, I will, Dr. Geller. And then let's take off our jackets and see who we really are. And we go back and forth. Everybody's revealing something personal about themselves. And Sherry Shepherd's in the scene talking about her fake boobs. And I'm talking about, I have OCD and I need to flip the light switch off and on 7 times before I leave room or the family will die. So it was this fun scene. And Schwimmer was just a class act. Like, when I walked to the set the first time, he's like, she stuck out his hand, shook it, and said, "Hey, I'm David. Welcome to the show. This is great." He was very positive. And another cool little thing he did during the live performance, people sit in the bleacher seats, the audience, and they're watching the show. And the actors come off the stage at the end of the scene, and he's walking off the stage to go do something else. And somebody yells from the scene, from the stage, or from the bleachers, "Ross, Ross." And it's this lady who's in, you know, she's here to see the show. It's probably the biggest moment of her life. You know, I'm just assuming this.
Yeah.
Because it's a popular show and it's huge. And she sees the star of the show. She's yelling, "Ross, Ross." And he just kind of, he walks by me quietly. He says it to himself, but I could hear it. And he's like, "My name's David." And then he spun around and had a huge smile on his face. And he said, "Hi, how are you?" And he walked over to her and shook her hand and made this woman's day. And I just thought, this was so cool, because this guy's, you know, kind of entering Beatlemania status for that little moment of his life.
Right.
And it was just so classic that he realized that this was, he could have ignored her and kept walking, but he knew that this would be important to this person. So I've never really met or talked to David Schwimmer about it, but I just was very impressed with him. He was a solid guy.
Well, dude, everything I've seen you on, you know, whether you have one line or five, it's just great. And I love you have those experiences, and I love that you come on this show and share them. And check out Chip's Money Tips, everybody. It's just a great site. And Chip, keep up the great work. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Thanks, buddy. Do you guys have Aldi grocery stores there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm in a new commercial for it. I'm the guy pushing a cart, grabbing a jar of nuts, saying, "It's different, but you'll love it." As the lady, she's coming into the store all hesitant.
I find that interesting, because you're the guy that teaches people how to get big, big savings, and then you end up in a commercial of a store that gets you big, big savings.
The role was meant for me.
Keep up the great work, pal. Love it.
Thanks,
Thanks
Pete.
So
Talk
much,
to you.
Chip. Okay. Chip Bye. Chenery, folks, check out Chip's Money Tips. Great site. And great little tips to help you save a few bucks. Who couldn't do that, Conrad?
I need big savings.
You need big, big savings. All right, we are coming back to read more of your texts. I'm going to tell you something really disturbing about John Lennon and Paul McCartney. It's Pete Schwabba at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So you're tired, just want to close your eyes.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, and it is great to be celebrating Monday night with all of you. I'm glad you're here. Conrad Krieger working the board, doing the heavy lifting, using the bubble wrap or popping some popcorn, whatever you're doing over there. I don't know. I I guess that's bubble wrap.
Just having a little fun.
You got to keep yourself entertained while you're at work, apparently. Okay. Our question of the night, folks. You still have time to get in on the fun. Who would you want to be your mentor? Let us know. On the stream, Dave says Elon Musk. Have fun with that one, Dave. Jack Bogle? Who's Jack Bogle? And Peter Lynch. Go to the Google Con for those names. I don't know what kind of nonsense Dave's trying to pull over on us here tonight, but we'll get to the bottom of it. Thank you, Dave. As always, we have not heard from Sydney yet, so don't worry. We'll get to it.
Sydney, when you, you know, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to Sydney. And we've also got, we've had some great texts tonight, too. And Conrad's mom wants her mentor to be Kim Kardashian so that she can make a lot of money without having any talent, which I think is very
noble. You
know, that's admirable. Yeah, yeah. Noble. From the 608, Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Bob Uecker, funny, witty, and an all-around good guy. Boy, you could do a lot worse than Bob Uecker.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Thank you, Tony. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Winnie the Pooh or Salvador Dali. Wow. That's very similar to mine with Warren Buffett and Sidney Sweeney. Big difference there. Brett from the 920 says, next Monday, I'll be waking up to your show in Bangkok. Oh, wow. That's kind of cool. Good for you, Brett. He says, through the Civic Media app, but I'll be sleeping through the other shows because it's a 12-hour difference. Hey, Brett, any way you could join the show, be part of the show. App, stream, whatever, and tell the fine people of Bangkok I said hello. And, you know, ask him if it would kill him to join the show over the website on the World Wide Web. Or the app, whatever. Safe travels, pal. That sounds like a lot of fun. Jack from Merrimack says, as a jazz vocalist, you might expect I'd choose Sinatra for my mentor, but while I love his music, he always seemed too totally focused there to be a good mentor. I'd choose Michael Bublé. He seems to have a pretty good approach to people and life in general. Yeah, I would agree with that. I like his music. That's a great one. Thank you, Jack. And Jack knows music, so I'm not going to argue with Jack over that. Sean Cassidy will be here in just a few minutes, folks. In about 10 minutes, we will talk to the former pop icon and legendary iconic showbiz talent. Comes from a great family with incredibly talented people, and he has done a lot more. He was a teen idol when he was a kid, but has gone on to do so much more. Probably stuff that you didn't even know. I didn't know until I was researching for this interview, but he's coming to Wisconsin with a live show, and he will be at the Barrymore Theater in Madison and the Meyer here in downtown Green Bay, just down the street. So that is coming up in just a few minutes. We've got some social media texts we'll get to too, but first I want to say, Conrad, this story shook me to my core. This is a BuzzFeed article about shocking facts about famous people that are just so freaking fantastic. Number two on the list, Paul McCartney and John Lennon used to pleasure themselves together. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's no.
In a circle with some of their friends. In a 2019 interview with GQ, McCartney reflected on the sexual experience with great detail. He says, over at John's house, it was just a group of us, he said. And instead of just getting roaring drunk and partying, we were all just in these chairs and the lights were out and somebody started. So we all did. Boy, the guy that was the first one to do that was taking a risk. Yeah, I'm just going to pull it out and see what happens. And they all joined in. McCartney continued, I think it was a one-off, or maybe it was like a two-off. It wasn't a big thing, but you know, it was just the kind of thing you didn't think much of. It was just a group. Yeah, it's quite raunchy when you think about it. There are so many things like that from when you're a kid that you look back on and you're like, did we do that? But it was good, harmless, fun. And didn't hurt anyone. Yeah, it's fun until someone loses an eye.
Whoa, that's...
Wow. I was not expecting to read that.
Yeah, when you said that, you sent that to me, like, you should read this. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't, like, dropping hints or anything, Conrad. I was just trying to prep you for the show. Like,
yes.
That's crazy, though. Like, I, you know... But back then, it's rock and roll in the 60s. It's just blokes having fun, apparently. That's the way McCartney made it sound. We were just, you know, all right, whatever.
And, you know, another story on that was the one below it.
Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Yeah. tell us about that one, because I think I only read like half of that.
Well, she stole about like $2,000 worth of stuff from what's the store? It was, I believe it's in Chicago or something. Saks is what it's called.
Saks Fifth Avenue, sure.
And she got caught, and she had a court case, and she wore one of the stolen goods to the court case.
That's why we love her. If she did it on purpose, she's a genius. If it was accidental, eh. I think I told you, her grandmother is either from Marinette or lived in Marinette. Winona Ryder has been to Marinette.
Probably, she's been to Christmas City, USA.
She's been to Christmas City, USA, probably wearing stolen clothing. Stolen clothing.
Do you think she still wears that clothing?
Why not? To a Stranger Things premiere, absolutely.
Yes.
Our social media responses to our question of the night. We will get through these two. Daniel Wheeler says, Fred Rogers, proof that kindness doesn't mean weakness. I love that answer. Thank you, Daniel. JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy. Conrad?
Behind the guy.
Yeah, says Steve Stevenson, one heck of a Steve. That's an inside joke, I'm guessing. Hmm. I've never heard of Steve Stevenson.
He sounds like a cool guy.
He sounds like a heck of a Steve. Matt Harper, rap rock artist from Green Bay. We love Matt. Says Rick Rubin. Awesome, Matt. Thank you, sir. Sean Boy says, not to sound sappy, but I will anyway. My dad, Time in a Bottle. Love it, Sean. Robert Bro, our favorite opera singer here at Nightlight, who is also from Marinette, says St. Francis of Assisi, who was the patron saint of animals, I believe. Bob has like 18 dogs. He competes to sing in front of his dogs. All right. When we come back, folks, Sean Cassidy will be here. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Great to have you here. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is John Grimes, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Gonna be some sweet sun.
Welcome back. It is great to have you here, folks. It's Monday night, a beautiful Monday night in our chilly state of Wisconsin. And I'm very excited to welcome this next guest to Nightlight. It's his first time here. He is coming to Wisconsin in February and going to do two live shows here in our state, one in Green Bay and one in Madison. We will jump into all of that with my next guest, Mr. Sean Cassidy. Hey, Sean.
Hello, Pete. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You know, I have so much. We talked a little bit before you came on, and I want to get to all the stuff we talked about because it's just great. But let's talk about these shows that you're going to do here in Wisconsin. My first memories of you are actually not from your music, but from watching The Hardy Boys, a show I used to love as a kid that I can't believe hasn't been remade just because that's what Hollywood does.
I'm sorry to be coughing. I just put a throat lozenge in, and it's actually making me cough.
Oh, no.
I'm all good, though.
Take your time. That's okay.
Let me get water. Keep talking.
Yeah, I'll keep talking.
All right.
So,
Hardy Boys. Hold on.
No, take your time. We'll have Sean back in just a moment, but he is going to play Green Bay here at the beautiful Meyer Theater on February 17th. Or you can catch him at the equally as beautiful Barrymore Theater in Madison there in the Atwood neighborhood on February 18th. So he will be here for two nights in cold, snowy Wisconsin that I'm sure.
I'm back.
Hey, there you are. It's going around, Sean, so I'm just getting over it myself.
I got laryngitis about, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
And then I had a cough for a couple of days. But I've been clean for a week, and just before this, I put in a throat lozenge, and I guess it had too much, like eucalyptus. It lit me up. yes, The Hardy Boys was my first job.
Great right show. Out of
and that was back in the Stone Age. some of you dinosaur hunters may remember that.
I don't know if I'd say that, but it was a great show.
It was fun.
You're coming to Wisconsin in February. Do you have a winter coat?
I think I'll need a couple.
Yeah.
yes, I've heard. What is the temperature today?
Here's what I said earlier in the show, Sean. It was minus, well below zero this past weekend, like temperatures we haven't seen in 10 years in Wisconsin, 5 below, 10 below. So that when I looked at my phone app today and saw it was 9, I actually said, oh, sweet, which is insane.
Break out the Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, exactly. But when you come here, I found this interesting, and I love this about you and your show. You said, I want to work really cool old theaters on this tour. And you've got them here in Wisconsin. You've got the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay, just down the street, and the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. They're both just stunningly beautiful theaters. So why did you want to work theaters like that?
Well, my show is kind of a hybrid of like a pop rock show and a theater Broadway show. It has a continuous narrative and songs that a lot of people will know from back in the day, and some new songs and songs from my family, but they're all tied together with story. And having been a writer producer for much of the last 30 years, that's been my main job. It's why my last concert tour ended in 1980 at the Houston wow. Astrodome, and I didn't do another concert till 2020. So you take 40 years off, you know, A, you don't know if anybody's going to show up when you go out, but you also don't know if you're going to enjoy doing it or feel like what anything you're doing is authentic to who you are now. Because one thing I knew I didn't want to do was try and replicate the success I had as a kid, because I thought I would look silly. And I didn't know if I'd even enjoy it. But what I found was that the storytelling not only felt authentic to the life I've had, but really resonates with the audience, because a lot of the people know the songs. So I had a handful of hit records, and they know songs from my family. You mentioned my mother, Shirley Jones, and my godfather, Gordon McRae.
Man.
We do some songs that they'll know from movie musicals, and my father's work on Broadway. So it's sort of a family affair, but the stories seem to really, really resonate with the people. A lot of them are very funny. Some of them are emotional, but they're very much about the audience as much as they are about me.
That's great. So that was going to be one of my questions. Obviously, you sing. I think what makes your show really unique are those insights you have into your childhood and your showbiz family. And we talked before you came on. This is such a great story. I told you that I used to sing the soliloquy from Carousel to my wife's pregnant stomach, because I knew about your mom thanks to my parents, and my dad used to sing those songs. And I remember singing them to my son and my daughter, because in the soliloquy, there's a part for the son and the daughter. And you said you did the same thing, and that Gordon McRae was your godfather. That's
And I cannot hear the part of the song, "My little girl.
Oh, man.
And white as peaches and cream is she." I cannot hear it without crying, because I think of my daughters, and I have a lot of kids. I have sons too. "My boy, Bill, I will see that he's named after me." You know,
so great.
Which I always thought was funny as a kid, but I had a big, deep Broadway-like voice, even as a young guy, which was disguised on a lot of my early records, but it was always there. And we would sing along with Gordon on those records, on Oklahoma and on Carousel,
wow.
in the house. And he was my godfather and a dear man.
Not to beat this to death, but the song Soliloquy too, what's so great about it, and what Gordon McRae does so well in it, and that he and your mom in that show together were so great. But he starts with, like you said, kind of a funny, "My boy, Bill, I'm going to name him after me, and I'm a tough guy." And then he segues into "My little girl," and he totally softens. And there's like character arc that we hear about in Hollywood all the time in this 8-minute song. It's so great.
No, it's like a 5-act play, the song.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it was the showstopper. Carousel is my favorite score of the movies my mom did. She starred in kind of the holy trinity of movie musicals. She's in Oklahoma, Carousel, and The Music Man. And I think The Music Man is probably the best movie, but I think Carousel has the best score.
Agreed.
And that song is the highlight of it. That and If I Loved You, which I also used to sing. I sang in an earlier incarnation of the show I'm doing now.
What was it like when you were growing up and you heard your mom sing If I Loved You, or When You Walk Through Us, or any of the songs from that show? That must have been like, was that inspiring to you, or a little overwhelming or intimidating?
Yes, 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 yes. All of the above. I mean, I didn't know I would ever sing any of those songs. I actually sing "Till There Was You" from The Music Man in my show now.
I sing it
because I realized very, very recently that the first two albums I ever owned were with the Beatles, which was the second Beatles album, and the soundtrack to the Music Man because my mother started it with Robert Preston. And what's so crazy about these two very different records is they both have the same song on them. Till There Was You is sung by Paul McCartney and the Beatles and sung by my mom. Mm-hmm. And I realized this is kind of the intersection of everything that ever inspired me musically, because I love movie musicals. I love Broadway musicals. I love pop music, obviously, rock music, even rap. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for cool. It's a rap song on the Music Man. So I, and so many nights as a little kid, I would stand in the wings and watch my mother close her show with Till There Was You, or When You Walk Through a Storm, You'll Never Walk Alone. So yeah, to your question, I never thought I'd sing those songs as I was in like a punk band, you know, in high school.
Really?
And then I was singing pop songs when I was making records. But I ended up doing a year and a half on Broadway with my brother David in a show called Blood Brothers. And I was now in my mid-30s and my voice had matured and I could sing, really sing those songs. So now I am, along with the pop songs. And I feel like I get to honor my family that way.
And what a great way to do it. My guest is Sean Cassidy. You can see him at the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay on February 17th, or at the Barrymore in the Atwood neighborhood of the beautiful Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin on February 18th. He's going to sing and tell great stories about his, pardon me, fascinating life and his mother, Shirley Jones. Was she protective of you when you were coming up? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't want me to do this. Neither did my father. And I wouldn't want my kids to do it either. But do kids listen? No, apparently not. You know, I it's really interesting. I reflect on it now, and I talk about this a lot in the show too, because a lot of the show is sort of an examination of the shared experience I had with the audience 40 years ago when many of them were kids and I was a kid basically, and the journey we've had. And to be able to look back and go, how did this happen? How was my first act in show business such a big deal? And how did I step away from it? Oh, and why am I alive? Which is also kind of part of the question. Huh. And I realized is I probably would never have become a performer had I not been born into a family of actors and singers. But like if you're born into a family of plumbers, you kind of know plumbing and people say, hey, you'd make a great plumber. You should go into plumbing. Really? Okay. And a lot of people are sort of pushing you into plumbing. So off you go and hey, you become a successful plumber. Great. But guess what? In my family, there was nothing novel about having a number one record out the gate or starring on a hit TV show because three people had already done it before me. Wow. And in a way, I think that saved my life because I wasn't special. Whereas if you're Elvis and nobody in your family has seen anything remotely like the kind of success he had, or most people who have an experience like that, it totally turns the wheel upside down. And, you know, you're making more money than your father, grandfather, great grandfather ever imagined. And you don't know who to trust anymore. And you don't know who really loves you for you. None of that was the case in my family.
Wow.
And so I think I'm here because of it. But what I also realized is very early on, I really am a writer. And I was drawn to the writer's room, even on the Hardy Boys. I was more interested in being with the writers than I was being on the soundstage acting. And the minute that dawned on me, it was like, oh, I can do a creative thing and kind of stay home and kind of have more like a normal life. That was like a home run. And the fact that I could do it, it gave me this life.
That's fascinating. Let's talk about that a little bit because you were like this teen idol. And I didn't know this about you until I started reading about you recently. I had no idea you were an executive producer on shows like Cold Case and American Gothic, and you were writing them. So that is a one hell of a jump from what was that like going to adoration and people losing their minds over you to just being in a writer's room with a bunch of guys with bad posture and flannel shirts. I mean, that must have been an incredible change.
Yeah. And I loved it. I was one of those guys with bad posture and a flannel shirt. First of all, nobody sets out to be a teen idol. You set out to be an actor or a singer. And if you're a teenager and maybe you're a cute kid with nice hair, that is what happens, right?
Right.
So, but that, you know, again, I'd watch my brother David go through it. My father was a matinee idol on Broadway at 18. My mother was, you know, Academy Award winner at 25. So I'd seen this journey and I knew as far as teen idol was concerned, it's short shelf life, right? So you either, you know, kind of Justin Timberlake yourself, or going back Frank Sinatra yourself into a long career, having been a teen idol, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Try. Or in my case, you totally go, that was fun. Good night at the Astrodome for 55,000 people in 1980. See you soon. And I started writing scripts. And the first television series I sold was American Gothic, a show I created. And after that, I got show after show after show on the air. And I just spent 5 years as an executive producer and writer on a show called New Amsterdam, which is a great hospital show.
Let's pick up there, Sean. We got to do a really quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Sean. He was actually one of the writers to a sequel of one of my all-time favorite films. We'll ask him about that, and we'll see tell you where you can see him in Wisconsin next month. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. My guest tomorrow night here on Nightlight will be Seth Wickersham, ESPN senior writer and author of American Kings, the legendary Frank Hermans, speaking of the Meyer Theater, and Heather Heil. They will both be in studio. Very excited to have a couple of our Nightlight besties on the show tomorrow. Right now, we are talking to Sean Cassidy, who has had just an incredible career. He will be performing in Wisconsin in February. February 17th at the Meyer Theater here in downtown Green Bay. Sean, you're welcome to stop in the theater. We're right down the street. All we ask is that you bring a dish to pass. And if you want to sing the soliloquy, I wouldn't argue with you, but that's totally up to you. No pressure.
I might take you up on that.
All right. And then he will also be performing at the Barrymore February 18th. We're talking about his career. What are your favorite songs? You've been doing the tour now for a while, Sean. Of all the things you just mentioned in your experiences in different genres of music, what are your favorite songs to sing that you might sing when you come here to Wisconsin?
Of mine?
Or of yours, or of just songs that are part of your show. What gets you the most excited to sing them?
It's interesting. It changes night to night depending on kind of the arc of the audience's experience. There really is an arc and a kind of a narrative beginning, middle, and end. And one of the highlights emotionally, I did a show on Broadway called Blood Brothers with my brother David, and the final song was this powerful anthem we sang with Petula Clark, who played our mom. I sing it with my nephew in the show. He takes David's part, and we do this duet, and it's kind of a high point, and I really look forward to that. But I also look forward to singing the hit songs, because unlike most people who had hit records 40 years ago, I haven't spent 40 years singing them.
Yeah.
So I actually am excited about singing them. I have a passion for singing them. And I, in all humility, think I sing them better than I did then, because my voice hasn't been torn up after singing them for 40 years.
Sitting in that writer's room. Yeah, that's fantastic. I want to ask you, I got a couple more questions for you. One of my all-time favorite films is Midnight Run.
Me too.
Yeah, and you were part of a sequel to that, and you co-wrote the script with George Gallo, and that just blew my mind. It's called Midnight Run for Life. What was your experience on that like?
Well, I didn't co-write it with George. I had met George. He wrote the original. He was one of the executive producers on what was to be a spinoff series, and they started these as Universal had these old things like the Mystery Wheel with Columbo and McCloud, and you know, they were doing a new one that introduced Hercules and Xena. And Midnight Run. And they made three Midnight Run movies. George was a producer on them. And I wrote the first one.
Nice.
Called Midnight Run for Your Life. And like you, I loved the original Midnight Run. Gallo was, I mean, he wrote a brilliant script. And those guys are so great in it. So the movie aired, and it was one of my first credits. And it actually opened the door to me getting a deal at Universal and subsequently writing American Gothic.
That is excellent. Before we let you go, I'd also love to ask you about my first crush. In addition to all your showbiz success and the things you've got going on now creatively, you're part of you own a winery called My First Crush. Is that right?
I live in the wine country of Santa Barbara. Our family does. And we produce a wine called My First Crush that raises money for No Kid Hungry, which is a great organization that feeds kids all over the world. And we you can join our wine club and get one of the greatest Pinot Noirs in the world.
Where would people learn more about that? Just Google My First Crush.
MyFirstCrush.com. Okay. Go and sign up for the wine club, and we'll have a wine bottle together down the road.
Oh, that is so great. And the proceeds, like you said, go to needy children. I absolutely love that. This has been so much fun, Sean. It's been great talking to you about your career. Someone I remember listening to and watching the Hardy Boys, just great memories, and love the Gordon McRae angle. I'm going to play this later and get to listen to that again, but Knock 'Em Dead here in Wisconsin, Blow the Roof Off the Joint, whatever all the cliches are. I hope you have a great time.
I will, Peter. Look forward to seeing everyone, and thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, that's Sean Cassidy. You can check him out here at the Meyer Theater in Green Bay, February 17th, or if you're in Madison, February 18th at the beautiful Barrymore Theater. I promise you those will be great shows, because I've seen clips of this tour, and it's just outstanding. So check that out. And Con, what do you think? Should we get a couple of tickets?
Yeah, I think it's not really a road trip to the Meyer, but
There's a road and we have to get there, right?
So it's a trip.
We could even take the bus, you know. Is there a bus on Washington Street?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We could walk.
We could carpool. Or get one of these blue bikes out here. You know? We'll figure it out. Jim Denny on the stream says, Peter O'Toole, that's who he would like to be his mentor. That's a great, playful mentor who was a fine actor as well. Mike on social media says, Benjamin Franklin, he was an extremely well-educated man who also loved to have a good time. I wouldn't know about that. Sounds like Mike partied with Benny Franklin. Chad Fran says, Pete Schwab, of course, I'm a terrible mentor, Chad. You don't want me anywhere near any of your morals or ideals. I think sex after marriage is not a good idea. So that's what you're learning from me. Just run far away. Tim Baker says, Alice Cooper, he has done it all. Not bad. Well done, Tim. Thank you, pal. Sean Boy says, Robert Bro, we have two dogs and four cats, all of whom fawn over me since Miss Fritz cast me as St. Francis in first grade for a skit. I tease my family that I am him reincarnated. Wow, that was a long... Oh, those are two guys that went to my high school who are going back and forth. And then Rob says, Sean Boyce, I believe, at St. Francis of Assisi, who is the patron saint of animals. You don't talk much about animals, Conrad. It's making me a little suspicious. How do you feel about animals?
I love animals.
Do you? All right, that's the right answer. All right, folks, we are coming back tomorrow night to do this all over again with some great guests, a fun question, and 'twas a fun night here. It was great to have you. Thank you to Mike Clemens, Chip Chinnery of Chip's Money Tips, Sean Cassidy. Thank you for all your texts and calls, and we will see you tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.